In America, you have a right to be stupid.
I mean, I do think at a certain point, you've made enough money.
$100 billion, $1 trillion.
Come on!
If you've got a business, you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
Listen to reason.
We're lending money we don't have to kids who will never be able to pay it back, to train them for jobs that don't exist anymore.
My faith has really allowed me to overcome a lot of things and hard work. You know, nothing comes easy.
We're so focused on getting into the corner office, we forgot how to build a corner office.
There's a clear cause and effect here that is as neat and predictable as a law of physics. As government expands, liberty contracts.
Finding real answers to form real solutions for a better America. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Here's your host, John Rush.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, Rachel Keene, conservative mama with me today. Charlie Grimes, your engineer, of course. We'll get Jim Dennison joining us here in just one moment. Real quick, the impossible question of the day yesterday, which, by the way, this is on the website, rushtoreason.com. The product has a lifespan of 10 years, yet 90% of them... Oh, Charlie, you don't have sheets. Oh, I'm sorry, sorry. Charlie, I was busy yapping during...
We were talking.
I've got to hit print here real quick. Give me one... Give me one
Welcome.
Second. Anyways, the answer is treadmill to the question of the day yesterday. All right, Charlie, yours is printing. Go ahead and grab it, and then I'll get mine later. It's not a huge issue. We'll get you handled first. I apologize. I should have had all that printed, but I was yapping with Rachel before the show today. So anyway, so that was the question of the day yesterday. 90% of these have a lifespan of 10 years.
Okay.
Or sorry, no, they have a lifespan of 10 years, yet 90% of them are only used after the first year.
Oh, yeah. Treadmill. Okay. I wasn't sure if we were supposed to say the answer.
That was yesterday.
Okay, treadmill.
Today,
yeah.
We will not give the answer.
I can totally see why
yes.
It would be treadmill.
Yes.
People are all, you know, it's like, you know,
so
they probably buy them January 1st and
mm-hmm. Yep.
They're done.
That's exactly right. All right, so today, you can answer this again on the website, Rush to Reason website. I will not give you the answer at this point. I'll either do it later in the day or I'll do it first thing tomorrow. What is something that 20% of people, it's almost a fourth, between the ages of 18 and 34 can't do? So what is something that 20% of people between the ages of 18 and 34 can't do?
Change a tire.
Oh, good one.
Change a tire or balance a checkbook.
Both good answers, by the way.
That's a good question.
By the way, very good answers.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Which is kind of sad, actually. It shouldn't be that way. It should be very
easy,
right? But... Anyways, answer that on the Rush to Reason website.
Drive a shift.
Drive a stick.
Yeah.
You know, that number's less than that even.
Yeah, I know. And my dad tried. Okay, I don't.
So you know how to drive a stick?
I kind of. It's ugly.
Can you get by if you had to?
If I had to, yes.
Okay.
But it's not pretty.
Let's ask Jim Dennison. So, Jim, welcome. Rush to Reason. How are you today, sir? And can you drive a manual transmission?
You know, John, I can. In fact, that is one of the spiritual gifts that got left out of the Bible.
Oh, I like it.
Right on.
But nonetheless, is enormously significant.
That is awesome. All right, Jim, I appreciate you joining us, by the way, as always. What is going on the Dennison Forum? I got several things we can chat about. Where do you want to start, sir?
Well, thanks so much. Really, the question I've been asked a lot lately has to do with what's going on in Israel. I've led more than 30 tours to Israel over the years, taught world religions for 30 years, and so I've got a lot of friends in Israel and have some kind of background that maybe isn't in the news. So if you want, we can talk about why it's happening.
Yeah, let's do that. Now, you know what? It's not really in my notes with you, but I talked about this yesterday with some other individuals. It's top of mind.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Well, that'd be great. Yeah, Rachel, if you'd like to do that, kind of go that direction. We're all seeing the news. We're seeing what's happening. The mob violence, which is really what's new about this, as opposed to just Hamas, as bad as that's been in the past. But we're seeing, in fact, I'm writing on this for tomorrow's daily article. We're seeing mob violence on a level we haven't seen since 2010. But there's a geopolitical background here that I think the news is kind of missing, at least what I'm saying, has to do why Iran is doing what it's doing relative to Hamas and the larger conflict. That might be of interest to kind of talk about.
Yeah,
if we pray,
let's do it. No, let's do it. I'd love to have your insight on it. Let's do it.
You bet. So Iran, as we know, used to be the Persian Empire back
mm-hmm.
in the day. The
right.
Persians are not Arabs. Saudi Arabia, the Arab world, has been in opposition to the Persian Empire really for centuries. It's been kind of a Cold War that's heating up. Now Israel is making peace with a number of Sunni Arab nations, as we know, the Abraham Accords. They're building kind of a Sunni bloc against Iranian influence in the Middle East. Well, there's this belief in Islam that an attack on one Muslim is an attack on all Islam. Surah 2, verse 190 requires Muslims to attack those that attack Islam. So if Iran can equip Hamas to attack Israel, and Israel responds, as they must and should, then Iran can call that an attack on the Muslim world, hopefully marshaling the entire Muslim world together against Iran and defeating Israel's peace agreements with the Sunni nations that are preventing Iranian expansion in the Middle East. So all that to say, there's a geopolitical strategy at work here that we need to understand as we're dealing with Iran and with what's going on. One other piece to add very quickly is the eschatological dimension. Iranian leaders believe that the Mahdi, their version of the Messiah, will appear at the end of history to dominate the world for Islam. But there has to be chaos first. There has to be an attack on Israel first. And then the Mahdi will appear to protect Iran from retribution. So there's an eschatological thing happening here as well as a geopolitical thing that helps explain what we're seeing in the news.
So they're really, in a way, Jim, trying to carry out some prophecy at the same time.
Exactly right. They believe, in fact, Ahmadinejad, the former president of Iran, who's running again, he says, has told his people the reason the Mahdi has not yet appeared is that the Muslim world tolerates the existence of Israel. And if they would ever attack Israel, then the Mahdi would protect it. Well, think about that in terms of nuclear weapons.
Right.
We've all been thinking about mutually assured destruction. If Iran somehow, hopefully never would, somehow got nuclear weapons and they launched on Israel, they have to know that Israel and America would obviously launch back and would destroy Iran. Not if the Mahdi appears to protect them. Now, I'm not saying Ahmadinejad or Supreme Leader Khamenei believe that, but they're saying that. That's why Israel sees this as such an existential threat.
And by the way, I think they're correct in thinking that.
Yeah.
They are. They have to take it that way. You wouldn't have been to Israel, like I say, more than 30 times. It's a tiny nation. It's the size of New Jersey, essentially. Right. There's one place, as you're driving north and the Mediterranean's on the left and the West Bank's on the right, and it's 6 miles across.
Right. Yeah, it's one-sixth the size of Florida.
Right, right.
Yeah,
it's very small.
Yeah.
I've been there, very small. It's not big at all.
Yeah.
You mean you can drive the whole country in a day?
You can.
So
it's
Iran...
Dallas to wake up.
Right.
Okay, so Iran, are they wanting to unite with the rest of the Arab world and Hamas and all these others, like to go against Israel, or I'm trying to...
Iran is funding them.
Funding Hamas.
Okay.
Yeah, by the way, they're funding them with probably some of that pile of cash we dropped off in the C-130.
Oh, gosh.
Just so everyone knows.
Tragically, very positive.
Right, Jim?
Very positive.
Hey, I'm not trying to say that, you know, tongue-in-cheek or be funny. I mean, that's the truth of the matter.
Right.
Well, that's where the money goes. That's exactly right. That's why it's so difficult to defund somebody. It's almost take money from other sources, right, and do the thing you wanted them not to do. And that's undoubtedly happening with Iran and Hamas. So, Richard, it's a great question because it's a Sunni-Shia deal. Hamas was established out of the Muslim Brotherhood back in 1987 and was a Sunni and is a Sunni entity. And yet Iran is Shiite. Well, the larger issue than Sunni-Shiite is Israel.
Yeah.
And this model.
All of them hate Israel.
So they will unite.
They
you think that
Israel.
They will, even though, because I know that's very divisive there.
When it comes to the Jews, yes.
Okay.
Right, Jim?
That's the fear. That's the fear. The greater issue then, that's really in favor of Israel right now, is that the Saudis are more afraid of Iran than they are of Israel. That's true of UAE. That's true of Bahrain. That's why you saw the Abraham Accords. They want Israeli technology, quite frankly. They want Israel's military.
Yeah.
It's by far the strongest military in the Middle East. I'll tell you guys, I wouldn't want to go up against Israel militarily.
Well, and you know, in a lot of that, you know, we'll give credit where credit's due, and Israel's done a great job with a lot of that. But, Jim, let's not forget, we've got a lot of shared technology that comes from our country and defense system as well that goes back and forth. Not all of it. I understand that there are limitations to what we allow to go across that border into Israel. But let's face it, Jim, we even as a nation have done a lot to help them protect themselves as well.
No question. Going back to 1948, when President Truman recognized Israel, as soon as, in fact, tomorrow is the anniversary of that, of the Declaration of Israel's Independence. And we were the first nation to understand that. And we have been, and they have been to us, our strongest supporter. They're the only democracy in the Middle East and by far the strongest economy and military. All sorts of reasons we need to continue that support.
Yep, agree.
Jim, do you see this escalating or de-escalating?
Great question. With Hamas, it's hard to know because of the issues inside them and the degree to which they'll run out of rockets or Israel can take out enough of the launch points to kind of degenerate their capacities there. But this mob violence, Rachel, is the thing to watch. This Arab versus Israeli violence. I'm actually writing about it in tomorrow's Daily Article. We haven't seen that since the Intifada in 2010. That's a police action. That's not military relative to a small area like Gaza Strip. That's hard to get a handle on, hard to get control of. That's escalating right now on both sides.
Right.
It's Jews attacking Arabs, Arabs attacking Jews, and these are neighbors. Right now in Israel, 9 million, 2 million are Arab. of the 9 million people in Israel proper, not to mention Gaza, which is 2 million, West Bank, which is 2.7 million. And so, yeah, that's the thing to watch in terms of the future of this.
Agree. Great synopsis, Jim, by the way. Yeah. Great. Where do folks learn more about this? Have you written anything about this on the forum?
I have. We wrote an article earlier this week that puts it in historical narrative, going back to Abraham and the Jewish version versus the Muslim version of all of that.
Isaac awesome.
And Ishmael. They can find that at our website, denisonforum.org. Then my article for tomorrow is the one that will talk about the mob violence and update us on Hamas and look at four biblical ways we can be praying in response.
Awesome. Jim, as always, it's a joy having you. Thanks for taking time out of your day. I really do appreciate it, sir.
Privilege to be on with both of you. God bless.
Thank you very much. And I appreciate him changing the things up there last minute, too, because we had that kind of in our notes today. Later, he did a great job of really summarizing things there.
Yeah, because that's a hot topic right now.
Very much so.
Oh, yeah.
So, good job. So let's do this. Affordable Interest Mortgage is next. Kurt Rogers, whether you're looking to refinance your current home, move, you're looking at moving, you wanted some answers as to how do you do it, what do you do, can it happen, Kurt can help you with all of that. 720-895-0500. That's Affordable Interest Mortgage.
Take aim. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the Asset Manager all-in-one loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take aim. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using these loans to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
Hey, a good shop is next, folks, and they've got a full detail service. So a lot of you that are driving some used cars realizing, hey, the value of my car is actually up higher now than it has been in months. I can't buy a new car. Guess what? Make that car look new. And you can do that at a good shop. They can handle all the paint exterior work and the interior detail work as well. There's three locations to serve you. So it's not just collision work. They can get your vehicle looking new again. 720-541-7697 or find them at klzradio.com.
A good shop fights on your behalf to make sure you get the most out of your insurance claim. Chances are, your insurance adjuster has never fixed a car before. Your adjuster may not realize that your vehicle has hidden or secondary damage as a result of your collision. So your insurance claim may not cover those repairs, unless your auto body shop advocates for you. Al Sturm has a long history of working with insurance companies, both as a customer service representative helping people with their claims over the phone and as a collision repair specialist, communicating between his own customers and their adjusters. Al and his team at A Good Shop will advocate for you behind the scenes, fighting on your behalf to make sure your claim covers everything. A Good Shop in North Glen and Commerce City. Certified collision repair worth referring. Fill out the contact form at klzradio.com/collision for $100 off your repairs.
No liberal media bias here. This is Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. And all right, we got a lot in store for you today. I was going to say this a little bit earlier, but we got rolling along there. I had Jim at the top of the hour, which we always do on Thursday. So in today's show, of course, we had Jim just now already. We're going to talk a little bit of COVID, some things that have happened, even as we were getting ready to come on air today, some changes even from CDC and so on. We'll get into some of that as well. Hour number two, John Tamney is going to join us. We've had him on before. He's the author of the new book, When Politicians Panicked, in regards to COVID. So we'll talk to him as well. And then Derek Hawley has a fresh new national energy survey that may surprise especially some of you that listen to us on the left and what folks actually out there really want when it comes to their energy needs. And then the last hour, Matt Johnston will join us, talk about Facebook being, or Trump being banned, I should say, on Facebook once again. And could that happen to you? And I think Rachel already knows that answer.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I do know that answer. I actually did an interview with the Gazette last week, Colorado Springs Gazette, about what they've done to my own, you know,
right,
conservative right. mama. They just completely, they come for
annihilated
you.
Annihilated it,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah.
Basically.
Pretty much.
Sorry, I mean, they
yeah,
did.
Yeah, I mean,
right?
They came in and demonetized, deplatformed took away sponsors, took away branding, and it's just...
So even though they may not have, quote-unquote, silenced you...
Right.
They have other ways of silencing
right.
you.
Right. I mean, I was, you know, working for think tanks out in D.C., getting messages across to, you know, your everyday mom that listen, mm-hmm. moms and dads that listen to what I say and do, and they took that ability away
right.
completely.
Along with some of the monetization right. that can go on with
right.
some of that.
Yeah.
Which, I'll explain it real quick. For those of you that don't know,
yeah.
when it comes to more so YouTube probably than some of the other platforms, but it happens across the platforms, but YouTube especially. So the way a lot of folks on YouTube make money, for those of you that maybe don't know this, every time you're watching YouTube and you see a little ad at the beginning or an ad in the middle or an ad at the end or an ad, you know, sometimes there's four or five ads mm-hmm. that'll run through a particular something you're watching.
Right.
Depends on what it is. Doesn't matter.
Right.
The reality there is those are always, because to my knowledge, because I do some of this for Drive Radio on YouTube, as a producer of content.
Yep.
You don't get to pick who those advertisers are.
Right.
That's all true. Done really robotically through Google, through YouTube.
Yeah.
They figure that out as to what is the, for example, if I do a new car review, we put it up on YouTube, most likely you're going to see ads in that new car review for
yeah.
automotive type things.
Yeah, that genre.
You
know, yeah.
You're not going to see an ad for diapers.
No.
Not typically.
No.
Okay, so you're going to see ads that usually correlate with that particular item or items you've been looking for.
True.
So again, they are tracking what you're doing on YouTube, what you're watching, and so on, and they will continue to feed that. We've talked about that in the past.
Right.
So where I'm going with this is that's how a lot of these folks on YouTube make money.
Mm-hmm.
They put things out. They put content out. There's ads that are driven that as you watch, even though you're not paying for the ad, an advertiser is, and
right.
since you watch it, the person that made the content gets a portion of that advertising dollar that came into YouTube.
Right, or the content creator is directly contacted by a sponsor that
Correct.
Wants you to make a video for them, which
Correct.
Was what was happening to me, to relay a message across,
Correct.
And they took that ability away to be sponsored.
Yeah, again, there's more than one way to make,
right.
thank you, Rachel, there's more than one way to make money on YouTube, but the point being,
yeah.
if at any point in time they feel like the content you're putting out doesn't meet their quote-unquote qualifications for monetization, they call
right.
it, they can yank the monetization.
Yeah.
And the way that works is you now, and at one time it wasn't as big of a deal, but it's really now, there's a set of hoops you jump through if you're going to monetize your channel, they call it.
Mm-hmm.
So if your YouTube channel is monetized, you've jumped through certain hoops to be able to monetize
right.
it.
Right. Yes. Oh, yeah. I mean,
that's how it works.
Yeah, there's tons of, you know, things you fill out, and you have to have so much, you know, so many views, so much of a following.
Right.
And then they offer that to you. So you've kind of built from the ground up. I mean, that's what I've done with Conservative
Literally.
Mama. Literally, I've grown organically and not paid for just grown, just
right.
word of mouth.
And there are people
videos.
On YouTube, for those of you out there, I mean, you can go Google it. There's some people out there making $20, $30 million a year off
oh,
of
it's nuts.
YouTube.
Yeah.
Some of these guys are making a ton of money. Doing what they do on YouTube, and all, by the way, at the mercy of Google.
Yeah.
Yeah, even kids. Yes, yeah, so actually, there's
yeah.
some parents that are making buku bucks off their kids.
Oh, yeah, they have kids on there, like, opening toys.
Oh, the one review kid.
They're
the,
like, look at
the Asian kid. The Asian kid that does the unboxing.
Right? T-boxing, yeah. Or, yeah, unboxing, whatever it's
is
called.
Is it okay if I said Asian kid? He is.
He's from Asia.
Well, he's an Asian kid that does unboxing.
Right, yeah.
And you just watch him.
Yeah.
And people watch it, and whether he likes it or not is kind of his own
right.
review.
My kids got into watching some of that stuff, and then before you know it, it was like, Mom, can I have this? Can I have this? I was like, okay, we're done. We're totally done.
Well,
no
that's
more.
What they wanted.
Oh, my gosh. No.
They accomplished their goal.
Yeah. No.
Other than you
happening.
Cut them off.
Yeah, I realize it's a giant commercial is all,
that's what
all
it is.
These are.
That's
yeah.
exactly what
right.
it is.
Right. So.
And the guys, are, and basically the kid's a paid actor.
Oh, yeah.
In
no.
a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But yeah, a lot of those you see, and a lot of folks have done really well, and some folks stumble. They'll do really well, and then all of a sudden they'll have a something happen, and all of a sudden YouTube comes along and says, no, we're not gonna let you do that anymore.
Yeah.
You're done.
Yeah.
And by the way, the stumbling doesn't just have to be on the conservative end of things. It could be you name it, and all of a sudden YouTube's like, nope, we're done. We don't
right.
like you. We don't like what you're doing anymore.
Right, but the problem is these big corporations.
Well, it's arbitrary.
Yeah, these big corporations, they've created like a monopoly where like, I mean, look, Parler tried to kind of start their own thing, right? And then Amazon came along and took their servers. Apple stepped in and said, we're not allowing you to have your app on our phones.
Right.
So it's like we on the left is like, well, go start your own thing, you know? So, okay, we try to start our own thing and look what happens. You know, they come along, take the servers, take the app. So it's like,
yeah,
there has to be.
Yes, although I think there was some huge missteps on the Parler end of things. And I think some of those were no one on that end of it thought it would get that big.
Probably not.
They didn't anticipate that, right. Nor did they plan ahead for it, which I'm shocked at because there's some pretty smart guys on the front side of that should have thought through more of, okay, if this gets that big and we're sitting on somebody else's server that honestly we're just, it's like leasing a house.
Right.
If all of a sudden they don't like us anymore and they boot us out, where do we go?
Right.
But nobody thought through that.
Like, okay, let's think of it this way. Let's think like Trump. He decides to create his own social media platform, which he could be doing right now. I know he's up to something.
He may.
I have no idea what, you know, exactly what it could be. But let's say he creates like a Twitter-like platform, okay? And then he's got his own servers, so he's worked that angle. It's done. It's set. You know, millions of people sign up. And then Apple or even Android phones.
Well, those would
like,
be apps. Yeah. If he was running off a website, nobody can do anything.
Right. But, I mean, how often do you not many people go and sit down at their desktop and tweet?
Agree.
Or
well, you'd have to create. I mean, again, and by the way, I'm suggesting if he's doing these things, anybody out there is listening,
you've got to think through it,
do this. I would not run one off an app.
Right.
I would figure out ways to run mobile versions of your website and miniaturize that. And there's ways you can do this without having an actual app, which, by the way, I would be doing.
Yeah,
I would not be requiring anybody to download my app to do my platform.
Because you know these big corporations that are all globalist-centered, they're going to come and say no.
That's right. So I would be doing that outside of that if it were me.
Yeah, I hope.
Food for thought.
I know.
I hope they're thinking that far ahead.
I hope people are thinking this through. Right, right.
Well, and what they need is guys that are on all fronts. You need the business guy that can plan. You need the marketing guy that knows how to market. You need the back-end IT development guys to know how that works. And somebody that knows how all this works together and say, wait a minute, what if, and let's make sure we build for that.
Yes.
Hope that guy's around.
Think from all points of view. You really do.
They weren't around with Parler.
No, they weren't around with Parler.
John Rush wasn't at Parler. Otherwise, it wouldn't have happened. Trust me. Because I would have been telling those guys all along, get this thing off of Amazon or never go there in the first place.
I have no dependency on Amazon, my goodness.
They should have their own server.
Yeah.
And you could have done that. There are gazillions of server farms out there, by the way, that frankly don't really care what's on it.
I think Gab, but I don't know.
Oh, there's
not,
others too.
I mean, yeah, I
there
think
are
Gab
there
has
are
got
server farms all over the place. Canada, the US, and so on, where believe me, there are server farms out there.
Yeah.
That
will take your
have
money.
No scruples.
Right.
That as long as you're paying money, I mean, folks, where do you think Pornhub and those places come from?
Right.
Those are all run off server farms.
That's true.
Trust me, there's guys out there that don't care what content's
on
there.
I'm on Telegram. Have you gotten on there?
No.
Okay.
Telegram?
It's called Telegram, and it's total free speech. Like, I have my own little channel I set up, and it's awesome because I'm saying things on there that I could never say on Facebook or Twitter.
I mean, I really feel like as time goes by, just my own prediction, by the way, I really feel like some of these platforms are not being very wise in what they're doing because they're, first of all, any business person will tell you this. You're best off not to run off customers.
Right.
On any level. Because eventually, I don't care how big you are, eventually that could come back to bite you. I feel like right now what's happening, especially with Facebook, Twitter, yeah, but Facebook more so than any of them, it's going to come back to bite them because it's already getting more difficult with what Apple just did on the security side of the fence with the new OS they released for their smartphones, for their iPhones. It's more difficult now for Facebook and other platforms to gather your data, my data, Rachel, and then market off of that because of what Apple just did. Apple just took some of that ability away from those guys. So they've now been limited there.
Right.
They're now continuing to scare off customer base. If they're not careful, I mean, there is no such thing as too big to fail.
Right. Well, it's like that. It's like that popular pop star, right? They're hot for a while. Everyone's listening to them. And then suddenly it's like, oh, turn it off. Like you can't, you're done. You're
That's
so
right.
done. And I think that they're heading in that direction where people, I mean, My husband, he's like, I'm out. I don't want to be on Facebook anymore. I'm done with it. And I know I'm one of seven kids. I think there's only like two of us left on Facebook at this point. They're all over it. And I think like...
I think you're going to see more of that, by the way.
Especially if you have like the Facebook themselves saying, hey, we don't really like a certain kind of person on our site. You know, that's another reason to be like, okay, so you don't like what I believe in. You don't like me talking, mm-hmm. so I'm not going to use you anymore. It's just...
Well, what Facebook doesn't understand about business, which I'm surprised because they should, when you start... This is what's happened during COVID, by the way. When you start getting people to establish new habits and they no longer need you, they no longer need you.
Right.
And unfortunately, Facebook hasn't quite figured that out yet.
Yeah.
Because eventually, you know, let's face it. I mean, really, here's the bottom line. Do any of us need social media?
No.
It's not a need.
No,
it's a want.
Yeah.
We don't have to have it to survive. Trust me. I grew up in an age where we didn't have a computer.
No.
Somehow we made it work.
I think people were happier without social media.
I mean, we had a bag of, pocket full of quarters and a payphone.
Right.
We didn't even have a cell phone when I was a kid.
I know.
You know, you told your folks where you were going to be. Okay, yeah, Mom, I'll check in at 9:30. Well, guess what? If you didn't check in at 9:30, you were screwed.
Yeah.
Because somebody was coming after you.
Right.
Somebody was coming to look for you.
Yeah.
So you knew to check in at 9:30 or Mom or Dad were going to get in the car and come find you.
Yeah. It was simpler times then, though. It really was. And I think
Or have we made it more complicated? I agree. It's more complicated now because we've made it that way.
It's way more complicated now. And even, for what I do, yeah, I talk politics. So I immerse myself in that whole social media world because you're trying to get news fast. You're trying to read articles. You're trying to, understand exactly what's going on. So I do.
You live by it.
Yeah, I have to do it. But for your average person out there, I would not have social media. I just wouldn't do it.
I wouldn't either.
No.
I wouldn't either.
Because people are posting their best self. They're posting their best front. It's not real.
No,
Rachel.
Nothing
you're looking at is real. Everybody's filtered.
Nobody would do that.
It's not.
Come on.
Everybody's in the perfect marriage, a perfect relationship. Everything's perfect.
People don't do that, Rachel.
It's just so,
come on.
It's fake. So literally what you're doing is you're just looking at fakeness for whenever you're on social media. You're just viewing fake.
Yeah, they're marketing themselves.
Yeah, and then you're what? Then that doesn't make you feel good. That doesn't make you feel better.
I no, you're
there's
correct.
No authenticity you're, no, there.
You, I'm agreeing with you. So, you are correct, 100% correct.
Yeah.
And I, like you, agree. Everything runs in cycles.
Yeah.
Facebook's had a really good run. Will they continue to? Well, it depends on how they keep their model going and what they do for advertising and revenue. Keep in mind, for the longest time, they made no money. Until they figured out the revenue model, which, by the way, that wasn't Zuckerberg. He hired some people to come along and help him figure out the revenue model because he didn't have that part figured out.
Right.
Yeah, the guy's a masterful programmer, had a great idea, knew how to get that thing dialed in and set up when it came to the sharing of information across the platform itself. But he didn't know how to market that thing and make money. It took somebody else coming alongside to make that happen. So will they continue to make money with the platform? It depends.
And what happens if Trump does come along, starts social media, and 80 million people go over to this?
It's a big deal.
To this site or whatever that's created.
And by the way, worldwide could be larger than that.
Right, and the haters are going to come over because they got to find out what's going on over there.
That's true.
So
that's true.
It could be interesting.
Well,
that could unfold here.
That's why I always say competition breeds excellence. So if somebody did do that like a Trump, his platform would get better. Facebook would actually get better. They both would improve by having some competition. The problem Facebook has is there is none.
True.
That's the problem.
True.
It's never good when there's no competition.
And it's a one thought thing now, though. Everyone's thinking the same. You can't say anything different. If you do, it's just
to me, it's become
boring.
Very stale.
Right.
I look at it some because of what we do here. But if I wasn't on here every day, I wouldn't be on it at all.
No, and I'm literally I can't really tell you guys what I think right now. So come over here so I can tell you what I really feel and I'm thinking.
You kind of feel like you have to whisper in their ear.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So
it's just weird.
We'll see where it goes. I could see it fading. Although, when we come back, let's talk about big tech and Ken Buck.
Oh, yeah.
Shall we?
Yeah.
Kind of feeds into what we're talking
about.
So we'll come right back, talk about that. Michael Bailey Law, Mobile Estate Planning is next. Make sure that your estate is in order, folks. And by the way, there's some tax changes that are liable to be coming along on these lines that you should be reviewing with Michael as well. So get that done today. Go to klzradio.com or call 720-394-6887.
There's always plenty of time until there isn't. KLZ's mobile estate planner, Michael Bailey, frequently gets phone calls from prospective clients the day before they undergo major surgeries because it suddenly occurs to them they might die someday. Meet with Michael Bailey now so he can write your will of trust and establish your medical and financial powers of attorney before you actually need them. KLZradio.com/estate.
John Rush will give you the confidence to grow. Every single one of the businesses coached by John Rush made more money last year, and most of them are either moving into larger facilities or expanding to add new locations because all of them chose to move forward aggressively rather than letting fear hold them back. John Rush will help you take the emotions out of your decisions, starting with the way you manage your employees. Send him an email now, john@rushtoreason.com.
Critical race theory, CRT, is actually racist. It defines individuals by descriptors instead of our character. It is detrimental to the success of our students. Many colleges, universities, and local school districts are forcing CRT to be taught to our kids. The reaction is to ban it. Seems like a good idea. Kim Munson here. Friday, author Alan Thomas joins me to change my mind about banning critical race theory. Hal Van Herke, owner of Castlegate Knife and Tool, shares his thoughts about the education of our kids. That's Friday, 6 to 7 a.m., 1 to 2 p.m., again 10 to 11 p.m. right here on KLZ 560 and KLZ 100.7 FM.
Water's Edge Winery. Warm atmosphere, wonderful wine, and delectable dishes to enjoy with friends and family. An evening out? A gift for that special someone? Water's Edge is the place for you. More info at kimmunson.com.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, conservative mama Rachel Keene with me today, and Charlie Grimes, your engineer. All right, this is your article because I did not read and research much about this. What's going on with Ken Buck and big tech?
Well, basically, I was alerted to this. I was on the phone with my dad earlier today, and he's like, "What's going on with your congressman?" I was like, "What are you talking about?" He's like, "Well, you know, he voted to keep Liz Cheney as in her leadership role," which right. was very surprising to me. I mean, Liz Cheney is
she's a whack job.
She's straight up rhino,
yeah,
right?
She went off the deep end.
I mean, and she voted to impeach Trump. She's everything wrong with the Republican Party, basically. And so I have no idea why you would back that. This is a guy that wrote draining the swamp, and like Liz Cheney is the swamp. Mm-hmm. So I have no idea why you're like, "Oh no, let's keep her here." Like, she needs to go. And so I support every single conservative congressperson that voted for her to be removed from her leadership position. But then Breitbart put out an article recently about a bill that was introduced and initially championed by Democrats, and it was sold to Republicans like Ken Buck on about taking on big tech. But the deeper you go into this bill, it actually allows greater collusion between big tech and media. It allows media organizations to form cartels that would otherwise be illegal under antitrust law for specific purpose of strengthening their hand in negotiations with tech giants. So it's like a small like newspaper wants to come out and it basically shuts down any kind of small media trying to make their way and allows big tech to team up with media and basically shut down anyone that's attempting to speak up. And I mean, even what's crazy to me is McCarthy has come out and said that this bill is the antithesis of conservatism. Rep. Jim Jordan said it just gives media cartel like power. And so my question is, what is Buck doing? Like, why? And then, you know, I'm hearing he's taking money. He's taking PAC money that's behind this. And it's really, really disappointing. So if I could get an explanation for that, that would be great. Otherwise, I think somebody that was anti-swamp is becoming the swamp right in front of our eyes. And this is what's wrong. This is why we lose. This is why we're seeing our state, have seen our state go from red to blue, is because of people. They go to Washington, D.C. They say they're going to change it up. They're going to be a voice. They're going to drain the swamp. And then they end up being bought pretty much by...
Yeah, and there's some pretty well-known, as you said a moment ago, Republican leaders that have opposed this. So I don't have an answer. I'm not talking to Ken personally. I mean, I've got a lot of respect for Ken, or have had in the past, and, you know, sat next to him at dinners and different things, and I do not have his answer on this, and I would be, let's just say this, I'm disappointed to read this.
Well, but for me, okay, and you know, I've supported Ken, so right. So this is surprising to me, but I think this is just such a touchy issue for me, is because big tech, and they've literally like ruined me. So anything that gives more power, more authority,
yeah, they need less power, not more.
Right. So that's why I'm.
And
like,
I've said that all along,
here?
And I'll continue to say that they need less, not more. First of all, they need deplatformized. They're
right.
Not platforms. Either one or two things needs to happen with Twitter and Facebook especially, and maybe even YouTube to a large extent, but with especially Twitter and Facebook, they either need to become a platform like they once were and how they started, or they need to be labeled a publisher and then have all the same rules the publishers come under and be allowed to be sued if that, you know, were to come up. And
right.
That's my feeling on it. One of the two needs to happen. They either need to go back to being a platform, which they're not.
Yeah.
When you tell people what they can and cannot put on their page, outside of the pornography end of thing, which is what the 230, you know, Section 230
right,
was designed
right.
for. Outside of that,
yeah.
You cannot, as a platform, be able to tell people what they can and cannot post. And this fact check crap that,
oh,
that Facebook
a,
is doing,
lies.
That's nothing needs to go away because it's a bunch of nonsense.
Oh, well, the fact checkers are complete radical leftists. That's what they are. They're not
bipartisan. Are they even human?
So,
I don't even know if they're
know.
Human at times.
I don't. Well, one of the guys that was fact checking me, lead stories, is tied to Chinese Communist Party. And they straight up came from my page because I was speaking out to, you know, about China and what's going on over there with the Uyghurs and just the persecution and concentration
right.
camps that are formed over there. So I was speaking out about that. And before you know it, I'm getting hit by lead stories. And they're like, well, we're not tied to China, you know, China in any way. But then when you start to really research, there's several articles saying that they are. So who these fact checkers.
Yeah, I
wonder
who they are.
They're kind of like empty shells.
Yeah, who is a fact checker?
Yeah, who are you?
Because I've seen some things that they fact check, which, by the way, folks, they're not fact checking anything. It's their opinion
yes.
that it's not factual. There is nothing behind the fact check that states otherwise. For example, there is a picture floating around that shows New York City, I don't know, some, you know, 100 years ago with the sea level up against the island itself and the Staten Island and,
right.
and where the sea level was, and it shows one today. And, you know, the caption is something along the lines of, if climate change were real, why haven't the sea levels risen, quote unquote, something
right.
along those lines. Well, that's a fact-checked Facebook where they won't allow that to be
right,
up any longer
question.
Because they claim that it's not factual. Well, there are two pictures of one back in time and one today. What's the issue?
Right.
How is that not factual? There are two pictures that are factual.
Right. And what happened to me is they would actually fact check what they thought I was thinking when I posted something.
You can't do that.
No. So I would post like a study from Sweden on math. That's all I said. I was, this is an interesting article. Literally, that's all I said. And then the fact checkers come along and say, this is wrong. This is not true. I'm like, I'm literally just posting an interesting scientific article out by Swedish doctors on math. Not saying that they're right. I'm just saying.
Yeah,
hey,
I've
check
had
it
some
out.
Of the fact checks on some of the things we've put up where it's
yeah.
just like, well, first of all, why don't you go read this stuff?
Yeah.
For yourself.
Right.
Why don't you go read some of the data?
Right.
I'm surprised, by the way. This is what's interesting. I've put up several different posts throughout COVID detailing the data and where we're at and the fact that it's not even a pandemic, according to the actual data. I've yet to have any of that pulled, and I don't know why.
Huh.
Other than I'm using straight up Google data.
Right.
And I give the reference to the Google sites that show that data, and I've yet to have any of that pulled and or quote-unquote fact-checked.
Interesting.
And it's all factual.
Yeah.
My data's not off. It's all
well,
real.
Well, do you have to – who was it? I think it was Candace Owens. She said, like, do you have to run a – you know, do real pandemics don't need a campaign?
Well, first of all,
right,
the original definition of a pandemic was a widespread, easily transmittable virus – with a high rate of death.
Right.
They have since changed that definition. They dropped the high rate of death. Why? Because we haven't had that.
Right.
And I've explained this so many times, I'm blue in the face. Yes, people have died. I get that. Yes, people have contracted COVID. I get that. Yes, it's a real virus. I get that as well. I've never denied any of that. All I've ever said is the death rate is inflated. That
right.
CDC has even said so. Inflated as in there's comorbidity along with the death rate. If you get down to the true COVID-only deaths, they're minuscule.
Right.
And even if you take the comorbidity into account and you take all of those numbers in, and I've done this on my page many times, if you really factor all that in, you still have a very, 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 very high chance of living if you're under the age of about 70 if you contract COVID. And if you're under the age of 35 to 40, by the way, folks, what in the world are you so scared of? All of you young people running around out there that are terrified to leave your house and you're double masking and you're doing all this other nonsense. Why? You have the least amount of issues if you got COVID in dying.
Right. Well, if you look at like other pandemics throughout history, like take for instance the Black Plague, right?
Right.
There's no like you don't leave your home. I mean you don't let anyone near you within like a miles of your home. Like I mean it was
It was terrifying.
People dying everywhere. You know, you come in contact with somebody that could have had it or could have touched something that had, you know, contact traces of it. It was just like there was constant terror, fear. And you don't need somebody coming over the airways saying stay 6 feet apart and make sure you get your vaccine.
Which, again, I debunked that because, you know, CDC came out with a announcement last Friday night. And by the way, we've said this before, I'll keep saying it. Anytime the government wants you to not study something or read something in depth, they put it out on a Friday night. Why? Because by Monday morning, it's washed with all of the other news that comes out. So CDC last Friday night came out with the news that basically said we were wrong on this 6 foot separation thing all along, because the reality is somebody with COVID could be in a building and even 3 hours later, somebody could enter in and still contract the virus based upon
them being in the same space. That's what we've been saying this whole time.
So this 6 foot thing is nonsense.
Right.
Now, I will say this, and I've said this all along. Do I like the 6 foot thing? I do, actually. Stay out of my stinking space. You stay in your own space. Right. I'll stay in mine. I'm good.
Right.
So that part hasn't, you know. Now, I don't believe it because of COVID. I just like my own space.
Yeah. I'm good with it.
So that's the only thing I have enjoyed.
Stay out of my personal
space. People come up to a little mark in the floor and it's like, oh, I can't step over that. No, you can't. You stay there.
Yeah. Seriously. So back to this Ken Buck thing. I'd really like an explanation.
I would too.
If somebody knows, call in, let us know.
Yeah, I would love to hear.
Because I can't understand why we would give any more power or authority to big tech and media. I mean, if anything, they need to be broken up.
Like I said earlier, yes, we need to take it away.
So I'd like an explanation, basically.
I would too.
That's what I'm asking for.
All right, we'll come back. We got more to talk about. Don't worry. We will be right back. Franktown Firearms is next, folks. And if you need anything when it comes to owning a firearm, shooting, training, you name it, they've got it all. And it's at Franktown, of course, which is southeast of town here, 720-770-7777. Find all about them by going to klzradio.com.
You will remember the people who treated you well during nationwide shortages. Franktown Firearms keeps their prices fair and shelves as full as possible because they value long-term client relationships. The team at Franktown Firearms has clients, not customers. Customers come in numbers with dollar values attached. Clients have names. Clients come back again and again because they feel respected. Because they've developed a reputation for reliability among their suppliers, Franktown Firearms has a more consistent selection of guns and ammo available, which allows them to keep their prices at or below MSRP. They continue to offer reasonable prices because they don't just want you to buy a gun. They want you to come back for training, sign up for a membership, practice on the range, and develop confidence with your firearm. Franktown Firearms, where students become friends. Fill out the contact form at klzradio.com/Franktown for specific pricing on guns and ammo.
All right, Bruce Simmons, a reverse mortgage specialist with American Liberty Mortgage. If you're somebody that's maybe you're struggling right now, maybe there's been some things through COVID where you're sitting on a pile of equity and you need some help, you know, paying the bills, well, that's what that's for. On the same token, you may be just looking at that equity saying, wait, I could be doing something with that, helping with inflation and actually making a little money with that. Well, he can help you with that as well. Whatever the case, give Bruce a call and he can explain how it works. 303-467-7821 or klzradio.com.
A reverse mortgage with Bruce Simmons puts more money in your pocket. One of the common misconceptions Bruce hears about reverse mortgages is that they're too expensive. But here in the Front Range, chances are good your property value will keep going up even after you get the loan, which means your overall equity may actually increase over time instead of shrinking. Plus, you get the benefit of using a portion of your home's value now instead of waiting until you sell the house. Best of all, FHA reverse mortgages are non-recourse loans, which means they're guaranteed by the government. So no matter what happens to the housing market, as long as you keep paying taxes and insurance, you can never lose the house or pass on debt to your heirs beyond the value of the home. A reverse mortgage puts more money in your pocket. Ask Bruce Simmons now at klzradio.com/reverse. Personalized reverse mortgage expertise. NMLS number 409914. American Liberty Mortgage is an equal housing lender.
This is Josh with Business Equipment Service. Here's a message from one of our satisfied customers. Susan at Premier Manufacturing says, "In the 2+ years I have been with Premier Manufacturing, my interaction with BES has been nothing but positive. When we have a service issue, they do their best to have someone sent out that same day, and the service people have always been friendly, efficient, and professional." If you are looking into purchasing office equipment or have a problem with equipment you currently have, give us a call at 303-825-5664.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, Rachel King, conservative mama, Charlie Grimes. All right, I'm going to play something that Rachel put together. What are you going to call this? Or what are you calling
it's
this?
It's called Mean Tweets.
Mean Tweets. All right, I'm going to hit the play button. Here we go, Charlie.
Millions of people out of work, and yet people hiring can't get people to work because people are being paid to stay home and not work. High gas prices and gas shortages. Inflation really starting to set in. Forget peace in the Middle East. Israel is under attack. Iran is emboldened again. They actually surrounded our U.S. warships just the other day. Drugs are pouring into our country through the southern border. And human trafficking is definitely up. Thousands and then thousands of migrant children at the southern border, alone, without their parents, all alone. Civil unrest, lots of civil unrest. Lumber prices are up. Couldn't build a home if you wanted to right now.
Fact.
Cyber attacks on our U.S. oil pipelines.
Which they paid $5 million
for,
by the way.
No one holding communist China responsible for this last year and a half. But all of this is okay. It's okay. It's okay. Because we don't have the mean tweets, right? No mean tweets. I mean, I think it's important to note how terrible the mean tweets were, okay? They're horrible.
Good point. I mean, it's sad but true.
It's sad but true, but I mean, come on.
Oh, they did pay $5 million to the ransomware folks,
by
the way.
Really?
Yeah, it came out today. They paid $5 million.
Wow.
To get the thing unlocked, I guess.
Of course they did.
What a crock of you know what.
Weak.
Well, first of all, that's pretty weak on your IT side to be able to have that happen in the first place. And
exactly.
Then to write that check. What a bunch of putzes.
Right.
Who's in charge of that thing?
I don't know. I mean, it's a hot mess out there right now, John. It is a hot mess, and I'm wondering.
But we didn't have this 2 years ago.
No, we didn't have this
But we had
years.
Mean tweets.
We had mean tweets, and that's that.
People's
really,
feelings were getting hurt.
Right, so I guess all the people out there that voted for Biden, are you happy? Are you
glad? By the way, all you Christians, by the way, that couldn't vote for Trump, are you happy?
Yeah.
I mean that sincerely, folks. I really mean
Israel's
that.
Israel's under attack, are you happy?
Richard and I were talking about that this morning. My son and I were talking about that. Are you Christians that couldn't vote for Trump because it violated your principles?
Right. Look at what we're
Are
facing.
You really happy now, you putzes? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm calling you that because you are. What a bunch of dopes you are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean that. You Christians that voted for Biden, you are total, absolute failures as Christians and morons to boot.
Right.
Yes, I said that, and I mean it.
Completely agree.
What a bunch of morons.
Right. Because, well, what happened?
Thanks, by the way.
Right.
Thanks.
Right. What happened is they got so filled up with, like, hate for Trump.
No, they got filled up with stupidity.
Right, but they it caused them to go completely blind to what the left was then going to usher into our country. And we're witnessing right now, just like I mentioned in this video.
And by the way, you got used.
Oh, yeah.
All of you that voted
You've
for Biden.
Played.
All of you Christians that did, you got played. You got used. That's mm-hmm. That's why I call you morons.
Yeah.
Because you couldn't see it coming, so you're utter morons.
No, I mean, it's sad.
Well, but I can't vote for Trump because he tweets mean.
He says stuff
He says stuff that just isn't right.
He said something really inappropriate 2 decades ago.
Well, he could have said something inappropriate a week ago.
I know,
who cares?
But still, I know.
I just can't vote for the guy because, you know, he just says things that I just don't think he should say.
Right.
Who's monitoring those tweets?
I mean, that's the stuff we heard.
The tweets, really.
Right? I'm serious. Those are the things I heard the past 4 years when he was in office.
Right.
I'm repeating what I got told.
Yeah.
Well, he just shares things that shouldn't be said.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Who cares?
What would you rather have, that or this?
Inflation,
you
high
bozos.
Gas prices, Iran emboldened. I mean,
you had
literally
the best economy on the planet prior to now.
Yeah.
And you bozos voted for Biden.
Right.
Literally, you're a bozo if you voted for Biden. I mean that. Bozo the Clown would have been a better, by the way, would have been a better candidate.
It's so sad.
Have you seen some of the things he's even said lately where he's not even, you know, congruent in what he's saying?
I don't think
he just
even
stumbles
knows
all around
where he is right now, John.
Unbelievable.
I don't think he knows. I don't. It's like you have to laugh or you start crying. Like that's where I'm at right now. I'm like, just laugh because it's so messed up.
Yeah.
And what's really messed up is if we continue in this right now, like my kids, I think about my kids. I think about their future. I think about, it's just.
I finally realized, and Uncle and I were talking about this today, and I had some other folks that emailed some and texted me this morning. I really do believe that the reason why these young people have bought in so much to all of this COVID nonsense and the masks and the distancing and all the different things is because, and I kept asking, why are they so fearful? Well, the reason why they're so fearful is we've got an entire generation that's never faced adversity yet.
No.
Where those of us that are older, myself, you, Charlie, others that are even older than I, we have faced so much adversity that COVID isn't a drop in the bucket compared to that stuff.
True.
Right?
Yeah. Just
and moving
so
that,
on,
so that's
right?
the reality. Yeah. The young people now that are in the condition I just mentioned have never faced adversity, unfortunately.
Right.
And you see the response now. That's why adversity is a good thing, folks.
But I actually think, I do think that as this is the silver lining is as it gets darker, because it's going to get darker if we continue in this direction that we're going, I think more people are going to start to see it. I think that as inflation just keeps going up, as you start to pay, you pay $10 for a gallon of milk at some point, they might say, hey, wait a minute, what's happening here? I mean, at some point, there will be a tipping point.
Well, speaking of inflation, Barber's Foods, by the way, I would stock up on beef right now because we know that those prices are increasing as well. Take this opportunity, get your freezer stocked. If you got to go buy another freezer to add to it, I would. Go to Barber's Foods, load up on some good high-quality meat, and make sure that you're stocked up and stave off inflation in doing so. Find them again at Barber's Foods, that's two S's, barbersfoods.com.
It's time to get out the grill for some all-natural, mouth-watering meats raised right here at home from Barber's Foods. For over 70 years in Colorado, Barber's Foods has stayed true to their mission to provide their customers with only the highest quality organic, antibiotic-free meats from family farms they know personally. So whether you're buying beef, bison, pork, or poultry, they know where it's coming from and the families who raise the animals with care and respect. Place your order now at barbersfoods.com or call 303-466-7338. Pick up your order at the Denver warehouse located at I-70 and Brighton Boulevard near the National Western Center. Or for those in the Denver metro area, Barber's Foods will deliver direct. Colorado-sourced bison, organic grass-fed beef, USDA prime beef, purebred Wagyu, slow-raised non-GMO Duroc pork, free-range chicken, non-GMO turkeys, and more. Barber's Foods, 100% Colorado native owned and operated. Barbersfoods.com.
All right, myself, Rachel Keene, Charlie Grimes, that's it for this first hour. If you're listening to the replay hour, we will be back tomorrow. We've got a great lineup for you. Andy's going to do a movie review of Finding You, the new rom-com. And then in honor of the 70s and the fact that Joe Biden put us back there, we're going to do movies from the 70s tomorrow. So that and much more. We'll be back, though, here in just a few minutes here for hour number two, so don't go anywhere. This is Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.